Richie, Asa, and KMOX. Happy Tuesday. A few minutes past 4 p.m. Housekeeping, you guys will be happy to know that Doc Knoyer is calling in a steroid for me.
Oh, good. So,
you're going to get jacked.
I'm going to look like you. Yeah. every Tuesday at 4, we do the Think Tank. We invite in a couple of our friends, usually on opposite sides of the aisle, but cool people. We've had a few D-heads on, and we just don't invite them back. Like Elman, you know. You can't have a bomb thrower like Elman. So Dennis Hancock is here from the county. Donna Behringer is here from the city. Two of my favorite people. Donna, I'm telling you, I would put you in charge of the world. You're the hardest worker and so reasonable. Like, I just wish you could run everything.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
At least run my life for me. Dennis, how goes running for a county executive?
Yep, it's going. You know, things are going well. We start our new year at the council this evening. So, hence I've got my work clothes on.
Yeah, yeah. Are most, I've been trained by television that most of your meetings are drama. Is that true, or is that they're mostly boring and every now and then you get a little?
It's mostly boring, and every once in a while we touch on a subject that gets people's attention and gets inflames some opinions. But for the most part, it's pretty routine.
Yeah. How are things going in the city?
I'm only laughing because, I mean, I guess that means you don't watch them then.
Oh, no.
Meetings.
No. I do have my limits. My life can't go there. Like, hey, club, what are you doing? Watch my buddy Dennis.
Well, I have to admit, I do try to tune in, not necessarily online, but I'll watch the news on Tuesday nights because you may or may not know that my very good friend, Gretchen Bangert, is on the St. Louis County Council.
That's right.
And serves there. So we were together in Jefferson City for 8 years. So yeah. I like to see what she's doing on Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's usually doing the same thing I am. But, just looking at my watch going,
when's this thing wrap up?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I hate meetings. It's one of the best things about this job.
Yeah.
It's like you typically just, we don't have to go to meetings. Mm-hmm. But here's what I especially hate. I hate a meeting where someone says, okay, blah, blah, blah. We'll get to that down the road. I'm like, down the road? We're... This is long enough. It's going to be down the road or like, especially when you have materials that you can read along with. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm no genius, but give me 3 pages. I got it. Mm-hmm. I don't need you to read them for me. But so many meetings like that, it's like now we'll go item by item.
Yeah.
Oh, terrible.
I learned, so I had an intern who was a college student and she taught me notability. And that's what they use in college. And basically what I learned, and I do that now, and I did it during when I was a legislature. And so you can download the entire bill, and then I have it on my iPad, and then I have an iPencil. And so every night before I'd go to bed, I know I need a life, but when I was in the House, I would go through fiscal notes, and I can highlight, I can write on them. But the best part about that is that if anyone were to ask me a question, whatever I wrote on the actual note, right, will actually pull it for me. So I've been using that now here in the city because when I get to a meeting, like tomorrow when I get to the airport commission meeting, I already have all my notes handwritten from my iPencil on my iPad. So I don't need the paper. And if I have any questions, I have it all in front of me.
I like
awesome.
That.
Like it.
I like that.
I'm not that organized.
Dennis just shoots from the hip. I have a system like that. Like my show typically fits on one piece of paper and just like that, just bullet points. And then the first thing I do when I come in the morning, having show prep last night, is I put a red star to stuff I think is really going to be good. And then whatever's carried over the next day, that's where I start. So like some sort of system to the DGS madness, right?
Sure.
We were talking earlier to attorney Brad Young and talking about politics and this and that. And he brought up how the city is specifically designed to have a weak mayor and a strong aldermanic board, which I didn't know before. Yeah. I knew the city was weird. You know, and going back to the Civil War and this and that and the police, but it really is. It's very different.
It is. And so we have a weak form of mayor. That's where we are. However, here's the other layer to this that people forget about. And that's what I've been trying to drive home about the sheriff in the city of St. Louis, we have these offices called county offices. And so they were set up originally when St. Louis County had no form of government. And so they served the city and the county. But when the county came up with its own form of government, we still kept some of them. So in the city of St. Louis, we have county offices, sheriff being one, that are under state statute. They're not under our charter. So when people say, why can't you just appoint this sheriff? Why can't you do this? Why can't you do that? They're not in our charter. They're under state statute. And it gets very blurry because what's happened over the years is if you want to change anything in these county offices, all you do is go to Jeff City and you get a senator to sponsor it. And then you can make changes. You can double your salary. You can increase fees. Or in the case of what's happened in the past, they changed it so it wasn't be the governor that gets to appoint him. They changed it to the mayor. So we have our charter and our form of government. It really needs updating. Yeah. It really does.
How big a deal is that? Like, let's say that all of you agreed. How difficult would it be to change the system?
It's difficult because we have many layers we need to, you know, peel back on this onion. So what I would like to do is start with, you know, simple things that I can explain to the people because it's hard for people to wrap their brains around it. They're like, how can we have a county office in the city that's not under the county? And I said, well, because this many years ago, how many hundreds? And so I want to build their trust. I need them to know that we need to change charter reform, not because we're trying to hurt anyone, but because we're trying to do and be streamline our government, basically.
Yeah.
You know, we're a city that only has 250,000 people, but we have a government that was set up for 1 million.
Makes sense. Yep. And then, Dennis, the county's weird. With like all the municipalities and like we've really made it tough on ourselves to govern.
Well, we have. And, you know, as somebody who used to be a mayor of a small city in the county, it's you look at why did these cities come about? You know, Fenton was founded in 1837, so it's been around for a long time. But a lot of these cities came about after World War II. They were basically subdivisions that were built. And over the years, they weren't getting the services they felt they needed from the county. So they incorporated and became, you know, if you drive down Natural Bridge, you drive from one city to another to another to another. You know, I don't think anybody thinks that 89 cities is the right number for St. Louis County. I don't think one is the right number either. So somewhere in between there, and there has to be some method for those cities to sustain themselves. A lot of the cities, smaller cities, don't have the means to support themselves, and they're either have sky-high property taxes, which the people who live there can't afford, or they have to rely on other means to support themselves.
I know you guys have a shortfall of tens of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. When does that get decided? When do you take that up formally?
We took it up. We passed a budget in December that took about $20 million out of the NFL settlement fund to get us through the 2026. Sometime during 2026, we will be looking very hard at either how can we reduce expenses or how can we increase revenue. I tend to be on the side that says we need to look at decreasing expenses first and looking at what are we really spending taxpayer money on. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that county government does that aren't required by the charter. They're not required by state statute. So we really need to look at those and look at how many people are benefiting from these and what's the cost of doing it. And so I think if we can come to some reasonable way of looking at that and looking at it in a way that, you know, isn't a Democrat or a Republican thing, it's just a way to get to good governance. And it's kind of like Donna was saying, getting our government to function more like a real government should, as opposed to a government that was designed 100 years ago.
You don't have to tell me what it is, but I'm curious to both of you. My intuition is that you both already know what you need to do. You're both smart people. You're both fiscally responsible. That you can go, you know, earmark by earmark and go, gone, keep it. Is it the fact that others disagree with you? Or again, if everyone agreed with you on the council and in the city, is it still just very difficult to do? Once someone has, I always say the word entitlement, but as a term of art, once people have that entitlement, it's almost impossible to pull it back.
Well, you know, it's the line that George Bush threw out one time of, it'd be a lot easier if this was a dictatorship as long as I'm the dictator. But you're right. I think most people have an idea of how they can do this and how they can do it better. The hard part is convincing a majority of the people in my case, on the council, to go along with it. And we've had some real success with that over the last year and a half, 2 years, with the working coalition that we have of three Democrats and three Republicans who tend to think alike. And we may not always agree on the best way to get there, but we do. But we have the same goal in mind.
Yeah.
And that's really the critical piece for me is making sure, because we know where we are. We know where we're trying to get to. And it's like in the old days when you were planning a trip, you pulled the map out of the glove compartment and you said, okay, I'm here. I want to get to here. Well, there's a lot of alternative ways mm-hmm. to get there. Mm-hmm. And so you get to pick the best one.
So I come from a different viewpoint because I actually am not part of the legislative branch anymore. And so I'm running the financial branch. And so when I came on, everyone was complaining about how long it took them to get paid by the city of St. Louis in the way of if you were a nonprofit, if you had a contract with the city. So the first thing I did was I looked at, we were using Oracle for payroll. It got rolled out and it was horrible. But this time I said, we need to put contracts on Oracle because we've got to be technology savvy. And so when I got there, they're like, oh yeah, we can roll it out in July. And then when I sat down, I looked at, wait a minute. We touch every single department in the city of St. Louis. Are they all prepared? And so I started having people, and unfortunately we had the tornado, would come up to me and say, hey, my department, I heard you're going to roll out Oracle. No one's talked to us. I said, talk to you? No one's talked to you? So I had to back it up and I said, okay, so we finally started getting to the point we're going to roll it out. But it took from July sitting down and making sure we did it the process correctly, because here are some of the hurdles we had, right? You go to a department and you're going to go ahead and you're going to train them. They didn't even have a computer, or they had never used a computer because everything had been pen and paper. So then I backed it up again. I said, whoa, we're not going to go out till November. So we finally went out. And when we went out, we went paper and we went technology, right? All internet, wow. Right? So we got all the bugs out. And it would have taken you maybe 3 months to get something through in the city of St. Louis comptroller's office when it comes to a contract. And so what has happened is I got a thank you note from the water department that said it took 7 days to get through five different city departments. And in the comptroller's office now, the longest waiting time to get paid by an invoice is 1.5 days.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rage Wheels, want to jump in with anything?
It's just fascinating listening to how everything seems to be piled up over time, rules, mm-hmm. structures, and none of it was done by design. Like if you guys were sitting down now to organize, like from the word go, we're just doing a restart. How much of what you're talking about now would even be a part of the conversation?
Yeah, like political hoarders.
Right, right. And it's not like anybody's fault. It's just like you
just
start.
What happens over
you
time.
Start 100 years ago or 150 years ago, and it just stuff gets added to what was there. And it's just like, how do you possibly sort that out? And how much of that is even necessary?
I think I need to reiterate, because this is the first thing people think. Oh, you just want to get rid of city jobs. No, actually, it's not that. Because the departments that exist, the people who work in those departments, they do work. And they mm-hmm. need to be there. But does every single department need to have their own public information officer, their own computer system, their own lawyers, their own... Just think of all the different things you need that you would have separately versus having it shared. And so I tell people, I said, so we have some things that are duplications, but the office, the work still needs to exist.
Yeah, and I think a lot of what you're talking about comes about because of that very reason. You know, somebody started out with what they thought was a really good idea,
mm-hmm.
and then somebody else came along and said, well, that could be done better. Let's add this to it. Or this doesn't work for me. How about if we add this to it? And eventually you get to the point where you don't recognize what you started with. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really where we are in the county is we have so many different layers and so many silos, you know, because we can't have departments working together across lines. You know, everybody has to have their own, as Donna said, everybody has to have their own attorney. Everybody has to have their own public information officer because if they work for somebody else and I ask them to do something, they're not going to give me the support that my own person would give me. I one of the first meetings I went to when I was on the when I got on the council was a department meeting with all the various departments, and one of the parks department head was complaining about they didn't have their own asphalt crew and for trails and things. And I just looked at him and I said, well, can't you use the asphalt crew from the street department? Well, they don't work for me. Well, I know they don't work for you, but they could, they should, you know, and but that's what, you know, that's what you have to overcome to make those changes.
We should note that crime was down once again in the city. I think 16% is in my head. And I think there's an analogy between St. Louis City and the Cardinals, as Wheels well knows, being our sports guys, that right now, as we sit here, it's kind of cool to not like the Cardinals. It's kind of cool to be like, I'm not going back to Busch Stadium. This is all crap, right? And I think it's the same thing about the city. Give credit where credit's due. Mm-hmm. You guys deserve a punch in the arm, and Chief Tracy and the mayor, like, well done.
Yeah, and I have to tell people, if you've not been in the city recently, you need to come down, because I've had people who've been to Union Station and they were in shock. It was crowded with people. They're like, oh, look at all the people. They come down for a concert, like, wow, look at all this stuff going on down here. And I tell people, you've got to come down to the city. It's not this scary place. It really isn't. And So I encourage everyone to come to the city.
That is Donna Behringer and Dennis Hancock. Thank you both. We'll see you soon.
Great.
Happy New
Year.
For
Thank
us.
You.
You're welcome. Welcome back, DGS on KMOX 426.
Bless you.
Someone sneezed?
Thank you. I did.
Sneezed.
Yeah.
Biophobia.
Yeah.
Fear of life?
Fear of nature. Oh. Of going out into nature. So not being outside.
Well, that would
suck. That's agoraphobia, right? Yeah. Like, you don't want to leave your home. You don't want to leave your apartment. So this is the fear of anything in nature, like going for a walk in a park, going to a state park, climbing a mountain, anything like that.
Wow.
And there's what was interesting about it is the story that I read is that they feel like this, they're studying that, or they're finding in their studies that the frequency of this phobia is increasing, that more and more people are are ending up with biophobia, which is kind of, I don't know what the causes are, and they're still figuring it out. Mm-hmm. But like other incidences, like agoraphobia, that's not increasing. Other phobias are not increasing. But this one right now is.
Wow.
And it's probably because too many people just never get into nature.
I blame Shark Week. It's scary out there.
What's interesting is this doesn't count other specific phobias. Like if you're afraid of spiders or you're afraid of snakes or anything. So it's not the same. Those aren't like, that's not part of what goes into this. This is simply being in nature.
Wow.
Terrifies you.
Wow. I'd love to talk to someone who has this.
Yeah.
Just pick their brain about it.
It's not something that I think is super common, but again, it's becoming more common.
Yeah.
And probably just because of how we live. Right. I mean, there are a lot of people, if you live in a city, you may not get into nature on a regular basis in your childhood at all.
I'm the worst because I'm very much like I care about mental health. I care about, you know, removing stigmas for mental health, all that sort of thing. But then when I hear something like this, I'm like, fake.
What a freak. Yeah.
Sounds made up.
Attention.
Sounds made up to me.
Yeah. But, you know, to me, it felt just more sad than anything else.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You've grown up in a place where, or in a world where you're not outside enough, I guess. I mean, like out in nature, and I'm not Mr. Outdoors, but certainly don't mind being out there at the ocean or doing things like that.